World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning. I survived without the Super Bowl. Survived without it. Now, I watched a little bit of it at the beginning, but I was only watching it at the beginning because I was up at our son-in-law daughter's house, and they had it on. And we always eat together on Sunday. We came home at halftime, didn't watch any of it when I got home. Kind of funny because middle of the night, it seemed like middle of the night. It wasn't that much, I suppose. Michelle and I go to bed. We went to bed early. And about, I suppose it was about 10 o'clock, Michelle said, I wonder what the score of the game is. She called it up on her phone. It was 33-32. And that's the extent of watching the Super Bowl that we had last night. A lot of reasons why we didn't watch. Hey, I'm looking at myself right now. Hey, help us out here. Want one of these visors, or maybe you like the blue one? I got just a few of them. And remember, I tell you that we got to lift up the name of Jesus. You wear this hat. I love my cross hat. Don't get me out wrong. I love my cross hat, but you wear this one around, baby. This one is in your face. I'm going to go with the blue, and I'll go with the red here today. And make a donation to us. We'll send you out one of these Jesus visors. Let me know if you want a blue one or a red one, although I don't have very many of these. We'll get some more of them made up. So I wanted to get that little commercial in there real quickly. And listen, we lost our little grandbaby on actually, Abby lost it yesterday morning about 4:30 in the morning. Appreciate that was a powerful moment when everybody joined in on prayers with us on Friday to try to whatever. Can I help you out here a little bit? And I don't want anybody to take this wrong, but I'm just going to want to coach you here a little bit. Scripture teaches us this, folks. Faith and fear cannot abide in the same heart. They cannot abide in there. It's like fire and water. They can't be in the same place. Faith and fear. The Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, in other words, what you believe in your heart, that's what comes out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Now, I'm not a name it, claim it guy, okay? I want you to understand that. But the Bible does tell us very clearly that life and death is in the power of life and death is in the tongue. In the tongue. Why is it in the tongue? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him, because those who come to him must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so when what's in your heart comes out of your mouth, but the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. We could do a whole show on that. And so one of the things that we were battling, and I think some of you are probably battling this in your own lives, okay, is remember the battleground's in the mind. Remember the scripture says, take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity. Why take captive every thought? Because both the enemy and the Holy Spirit work through thoughts. They plant thoughts. And what happens to us is we hear the thoughts of the negative, how about this? We got some of this, and I know that our daughter got some of this. Well, Abby, you know, I've been through that too. And, you know, I was praying for that our little baby would be saved, but you know, the baby didn't get saved. And just doubt and doubt and doubt. Not that you're going to change the will of God or the heart of God, but why do we confess death? Why do you say that you believe life? You believe that baby's going to live and then confess death. Why do we, folks, we do that all the time. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not making fun of anybody. There was one time yesterday on Saturday, Michelle wouldn't mind me wouldn't mind me telling this. She was having a conversation. She had a lot of conversations on Saturday because a lot of people were praying for us and praying for the baby and praying for Abby. And I'm telling you, I had to get up and I had to leave. I walked outside. Snowing. It was snowing. It's blustery outside. I had to walk outside. But oh my goodness, the doubt, the death that's being spoken. And they weren't speaking death. They were simply repeating thoughts. Are you with me? Are you with me? And say, well, we're going to pray for Abby that she'll receive the baby. And then we say a prayer for Abby and then begin to confess. Yeah, well, this happened to my neighbor and this happened to my sister and this happened to my brother's wife and his first wife and his second wife. And this happened to him. This is what it felt over and over and over. Guys, the most important thing that you're going to have to do is if you are going to believe it in your heart, you're going to have to quit repeating what the devil says. You got to stop doing it. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So I'm not blaming anybody for the loss of our grandbaby. I just told a lot of people. We had a lot of prayers going forward. Praise the Lord for all the prayers. But I'm telling you, boy, were we fighting doubt. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you what happened to me. Frankly, I don't care what happened to you unless it's edifying. If something edifying happened to you, I want to hear about it. But if you lost your baby, I don't want to hear about it. With me? We have a tendency to do that. Thoughts. Take captive those thoughts. Fear hath torment. The devil plants doubt. The devil plants fear. The devil plants questions. That's what the devil does. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you hear his voice. And then it becomes incumbent upon you when you hear his voice to act upon it. Because out of the abundance of what you believe, you're going to speak. Good lesson for everybody today. Okay, good lesson. So we're grieved. We're grieving that we want our quiver to be full. The Bible says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of him. And we want our quiver to be full and praise the name of the Lord. I'm with Kevin Van Story, going to bring you in here. What we going on? What we got going on out there in Neosha, Joplin, Missouri area this weekend, Kevin? Can you fill us in a bit?
Yeah, Coach, appreciate you bringing me in. We've got a spiritual boot camp, and you're going to be teaching us some of those things that you've done in other parts of the country here in the heart of the country. Here it's actually Joplin, Missouri, Joplin, Carterville, Neosho. We're all kind of just bunched together here, but we've got starting Friday evening at 6:30, we're going to meet at my little church, and we're going to map out a game plan. And then Saturday morning, you've got this. We're going to go hit the streets and go kick some hornet's nests and see if we can. If we can get some people excited, and from the way things look right now, it looks like I may have at least, I know I've got 50 to 60, and I may have as many as 100.
Awesome,
I'm pretty
man.
Excited about what we've got going on.
We're building that downline. Got to keep building that downline, folks. That's what we're doing. We're trying to quit that down. Is Chad in here with us today? Chad works, man. He's rare. So Chad's not in there, but there's good things going on down there. We'd like to bring a boot camp to your area. In fact, I'm not going to go through. The stuff's all over our website. We've got it updated now. Rob Pugh, I'm sorry that we didn't have the Wisconsin Christian News event. It's up there now. That's going to be on March 9th and 10th, I think it is, off the top of my head. I got some emails. People said, don't you have a calendar? Yeah, I do. I have a calendar. And so we get it all set. Hey, then listen, I'm still fasting. I don't know about you guys. I pray if my math is right, this is day number five. I'm halfway through day number five. I'm not telling you what I'm fasting, but I feel alive, man. I feel alive. Woo.
Excellent.
I feel alive. I feel good. And remember, the purpose of fasting is to change you, not to change the Lord, change you, right? To change you. That's why I think I was so sensitive with the whole Abby issue. I was hearing his voice. Fast, I'm hearing his voice, and I'm here. Ooh, don't say that. Don't say that. I mean, not name it, claim it. But for those of you out there, be encouraged. My feeling is this. Michelle jumped aboard, by the way, with the fast as well. And she's fasting sweet, like cakes. And she's fasting sweet. She doesn't feel physiologically that she can go a whole day. She eats small meals. So she said, you know, my blood sugar gets low, she says. So she's fasting sweets, which is good. What are you giving up? What are you fasting for? Hmm? You know what else I find out? My desires for worldly things go down when I'm fasting. They do. And I mean, remember, it's a spiritual thing, right? We're fighting a spiritual battle here. So I pray that you be strengthened in the midst of your fast, whatever it would be. Now, remember, you don't get brownie points for it. If you go say, this is day number 7. No, you don't get brownie points for it. When the Holy Spirit, you'll know when the Holy Spirit tells you. You'll know when it's time to come off. And don't feel guilty. Or if you slip and you eat something, and you feel like you're still supposed to be on your fast, you can pick it back up and you can continue with it. Let's say you're fasting all food. Well, you can move to one meal a day. I mean, you're allowed to do it. Remember, listen, folks, I change the weights on the bench over there. I change the weights. Sometimes I do 220, lying. Sometimes I do 110. You can change the weights. Remember, if you're not scoring points, it's not like you're on Jeopardy. It's not like that on your fast. Allow the Lord to take your sacrifice and humble you and change your heart in the midst of it. And eat the word. This is the bread of life is important in the midst of your fast. Eat the word, spiritual things. Man, I watched a video of David Wilkerson the other day. Gee, man, boy, did that feed my spirit. So just continue to do that stuff and be encouraged. And then this is heavy on my heart. My buddy Serge sent me a video, and I said, that's the ticket. That is the ticket. Listen, I know some of you out there dealing with weight issues. I deal with weight issues. But even more than that, I'm concerned about, although I want my weight to be good, I'm concerned about my heart health. I'm concerned about my blood pressure. I'm concerned about a lot of different things. And the truth is, when you try to, you're overweight, you try to get in shape, it's daggone near impossible. Somebody say amen for me. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Say, I can't exercise because I'm too heavy.
Amen.
I can't exercise because I'm too heavy. And I'm too heavy because I can't exercise. And so, therefore, I'm just stuck here in a rut. I just can't do it. So now that you're on this spiritual fast, how about getting on a little bit of a physical exercise regimen? And Serge sent me this video. And Serge, I want you to know that my wife and I did this all weekend, and I'm sold on it.
So am I, Coach. So am I.
I'm sold on it, folks. I'm going to show you. This video is 5 minutes, but it's only three. And this is by Dr. Mercola. I don't know if you know him. He's an internet
very well known.
Yeah. Well, he said he calls it the 3 minute workout. Although it took Michelle and I. Took us about 5 to do it. And he says do it 3 times a day. Help get rid of the nitric oxide, a lot of the bad impurities that are in you. Some of you said, Coach, I can't get on a walk, or I can't walk for 25 minutes. I can't do that. I know. Coach, I can't go up and down steps. I can't do it. I know. So, Jared, play this first one, Dr. Mercola. This video will be about 5 minutes, but he's going to show you the 3-minute workout. And I would suggest to all of you, especially those who are out there struggling with anybody, heart health, okay? Now listen, you're on a fast. This would be a good time that the Lord would be speaking to you about your physical condition as well, okay? I got some good stuff here. I'm going to get to you, I promise you. But let's watch this 5-minute video. And as crazy as this thing seems, my legs are sore today, Serge. My legs are sore. My shoulders are sore. I couldn't believe it. When Michelle and I were watching, driving down the road, I was driving, she had the phone, and we're watching this work. I said, this is crazy. We went home and did it. Man, go ahead and play it real quick, Jerry.
Hey, Coach, real quick.
Hi, this is Dr.
Yes, yes sir. Hang on.
Just to let people know, they don't have to squat all the way down. They can do – I can only barely maybe do an inch or two squat, but I'm doing it, and I'm doing
Start
it.
Start somewhere.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Sir. Start somewhere, buddy. Start somewhere. Did you hear what he said, folks? Because this involves a squat. You don't have to go all the way down, okay? Just get going. Go ahead, Jared.
Helping you get your health, and today we are going to.
Hang on a minute. I don't want to go 2 minutes and 55 seconds with you. Jared, go move forward about the 3-minute mark. 5 minute mark, Jared. 5 minute mark. Cool. Okay, so he explains why you need to do it. Get the nitric oxide. Get some of those bad stuff out of your body that you only get when you exercise. And go to the 5 minute mark, and he's going to take us through his 3 minute workout. I think you're a little okay. Go ahead, Jared. Let's see if that's where it is.
But we're not doing that today. So here we go.
One. He does 10 of these. Or you could do 20. Or you could do 5. I think he's doing 20, so it's taking him a little bit longer to do his workout.
Correct. He's doing 20.
Come on. You can all do this, folks.
I ain't eat breakfast yet, okay. Coach.
Now look at this. My arms about fell off on my third set.
The way I remember four of them, what I do is I
move. Okay, then he does those jumping jacks, hands behind the head and hands in front of the head. He's doing a set of 20. I did 15. Michelle did 10.
Doggy paddle, and this one's the snowman. And then praise Jesus is the fourth one.
You laugh till you do it. You laugh till you do it.
Remember to breathe through your nose.
Breathe through your nose. And then you're praising the Lord. Yeah.
Coach, how about the tingling in your fingers?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
First set.
He's done. So now he's going to do it all over again. So Jared, just pause that a second. Okay? Just pause it a second. He did the squats. Okay? Then he did what I call beating the drums. And then he did the jumping jacks, hands behind your head, hands in front. Your feet don't move. And then he did these dudes. And I'm missing one. What am I missing?
That's it. Four of them.
That's it. Do it three times. Just do it three times. It takes 4 minutes. It takes 5 minutes. And then at the end, stand. And he says, stand up and wiggle your hands at your side. And I'm telling you, you can feel it down in your fingers. Okay, now that's all I'm going to show you. If some of you out there say, man, I really want to lose weight. Well, here, start here. And it starts. This is not so much a weight loss thing as it helps to get rid of the impurities in your body. That you just sit around, you never exercise, never get your pulse rate up, never breathe deep, breathe out of your nose, in and out of your nose. Okay, cool. Any questions on that? All right, I can send you that whole video if we need to. Three sets. Takes 5 minutes to do it three times a day. 5 minutes, three times a day. I recommend it. Michelle's legs are sore. Right, Michelle? Her legs are sore. She's upstairs. Okay, let's dig into it here. I've been, anybody have anything? Joe said put up the link. So somebody put it, I don't know. Can I send it? Jerry, can you put it up in the links over there or wherever? I don't know how to do it. Or I would do it. Serge could do it maybe. Maybe Serge can stick it up over the link, so we'll send it out to everybody. This really works. Okay.
It's okay. Thanks, Jared.
Yeah, good. There you are. Jared's getting it up there for you. Okay, guys, listen. I've been watching. I don't know what you guys listen. This whole book. I said this on Friday. This entire book is about here on Earth. This is an earthly book. The spiritual book written to earthly people. When I'm in heaven, I don't know what's going to be like when I'm in heaven. I mean, whatever even heaven is. When I'm with the Lord, I don't even know if this thing's, I don't even know if this, I'm going to be using this thing. But I know that I'm using it now. That he wrote this book for me and you for now. For every aspect of our lives, every aspect of our culture, every aspect of our society, this book is supposed to be applied not just to me and you. The precepts of it are applied to everybody, supposed to be applied to everybody. And that's the way we started in this once great Christian nation, the way we started. And the reason that we've fallen from it is because those of us who carry the name of Christ have decided that we're not going to be the salt of the earth anymore. We've been talking a lot about coups. We've allowed a spiritual coup to take place in the church, a spiritual coup, to where evil men have crept in unawares. Boy, if I got a video, if I can find you, oh, man. Evil men crept in unawares. Book of Jude. Go there real quick, Jared. Lord, the Lord warned us. I'm going to say this again because I know some of you still don't get it. If you are applying this Bible only to your spiritual life, there's something wrong. This is a book to be applied in the natural realm. You got you with me? Book of Jude. Book of Jude. What part of the whole world do you not understand? Do you not get? What part of go ye into all the world do you not get? When you go out into the world, what do you run into? Go ye into all the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and teach them to observe. Teach who? Those in the world, not just you and your church. Teaching them to observe all I commanded you. Teach them how to live by this book in this world. Okay? It's a blueprint. Well, beloved, when I, book of Jude, Jesus' half-brother, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered to the saints. Why? For there are certain men, not everybody, just take certain men who crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord, our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hang on here. What does it mean to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness? Well, it means love, love, love. All you need is love. La, 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 la. If we could just get George Soros saved. If we could just get Nancy Pelosi saved. If we could just get Mitch McConnell saved. Well, how's that working? How's that been working for us? Or just look at your family. If we could just get so-and-so saved. Well, could it be that so-and-so ain't saved because we are not following what our Heavenly Father tells us to do? Could it be the way that we are living? See, the Bible says that the law is a schoolmaster that drives one to Christ. Okay? Now, before we get into the biblical part of it, I'm going to make a natural world application. Wait a minute. Lord, I want to do that. No, let's not do that. Jared, let's go to Isaiah 59. And then I'm going to come back and make the natural world application to it. Isaiah 59. Because we're in the world, but we're not out of the world. We're in it. We're supposed to be the salt of it. We're supposed to influence it. But I don't sit around and watch a Super Bowl anymore. I don't care. But I don't care. I'm not out of the world anymore. I'm here. Right? Okay. So let's go to 19, Jared. I'm just going to read this real quickly because I think it's important for us. Here's what I'm talking about today. I want to talk to you today about judgment and justice and why judgment and justice is so much more critical than what we believe it to be. You with me? Okay, Jared, go to, go to 16 a minute. Hey, God's big on judgment. God's big on justice, okay? Hey, remember I told you it's not a personal salvation, it's a worldly salvation. There's two different things, right? So God is, thank God he delivered you from judgment, right? When you received Christ. But he wants us to apply those same judgmental standards to the world because the Bible says that the law is a schoolmaster that drives one to Christ. That punishment is important to get your mind right. And not only is punishment important to get your mind right, punishment is important to get everybody else's mind right. Because they look at you when you're getting punished, say, whoa, I don't want to go through that. I ain't doing that. But if there is no justice and there is no judgment and there is no punishment, what would make somebody be saved? What would make somebody be saved? Non-judgmental. Hey, Jared, boy, I just remembered this. Jared, go to my Facebook. As this is up there, Jared, go to my Facebook page. Can you pull that back up there? I'm sorry, man. I got you jumping all over. Okay, stay here with me. Verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. You got to read the first part of it. I'm heading someplace. Okay. Now, Jared, you got to go up one more. Go up to 14, maybe even 13. in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. There it is again, from the heart. There's that heart. And judgment, what happens? Judgment is turned away backwards. In other words, there's no judgment. Or judgment gets compromised. Or there's two systems of judgment, justice. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. What does it mean by street? What does street represent? Well, street represents where people go. When truth is fallen in the street, it talks about where we all go and business and where we drive back and forth and up and down. Public! Truth has fallen in the public! And when that happens, equity cannot enter. What's equity? Equal justice. Everybody treated the same way. Oh my goodness. Yeah, truth faileth. Why? Because he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Boys, this book requires judgment in the world. Say it again. This book requires judgment and punishment in the world. Amen. If there is no judgment and punishment. See, I hear people say, well, we're not the judge. What's that one? Lord, help me out here. It's one blank one. We're not supposed to judge people. We're not the Lord will take care of them.
Matthew 7:1.
That's judge not. Thanks, Dale. Good to hear you. The idea that there it is. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, the Lord says. Well, yeah. Folks, if you think that we're supposed to allow God ungodliness rule and just say, oh, it's all right, the Lord will get them one day. No, no. Yeah, the Lord's going to get them one day. But we're not supposed to sit around and watch unrighteousness rule because vengeance is mine. He's going to get them. He's going to get them. But we have a moral obligation. Truth has fallen in the street. And the Lord saw it, and it ticked him off. There wasn't anybody bringing any judgment. Does anybody read that any differently? It doesn't say, everybody be calm and cool and just love everybody. And what? Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He'll take care of them. That is not what it says.
Amen, folks.
And the good thing is, you and I have been delivered from the vengeance of the Lord. But these lost people, there's going to be vengeance for them someday, right? The boys and girls, there's supposed to be judgment and justice upon them now. Right now. And who's supposed to execute judgment? Moi. Us. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. God's people. There's only one truth. You know why people hate Christians so much? Because they hate the truth. You know why they want to shut you up? Because they don't want to hear the truth. See, they think what they believe is true, so therefore they don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't mind hearing what the liars have to say, because I know the truth and I can defend it. I'm not afraid of them, and I'm not afraid to stand up and be a provocateur and argue with them. I'm not afraid to do that. Why? Because I'm standing on truth. But what's their solution? What's their solution? Silence me! They shut you up! Because why? They cannot defend truth. Can't defeat it. Am I doing okay, Amen. Boys? Do you understand? Are you following me here? You going with me somewhere?
Coach.
Yes, Dale. Good to hear you.
Matthew 7:1 is that scripture that the unbeliever in God likes to quote at us. And I'm like, why are you quoting this passage of scripture? I said, you don't believe in God.
That's right.
Why would you quote such a scripture at me?
That's right. It doesn't apply to them, right? See, but again, that's the old Saul Alinsky. They want to make you live up to your own standards. Remember that one? He wants to make you live up to your own standards. Okay, so people say, I hear from them, they say, well, coach, you quit worrying about politics and quit worrying about things going on in the world. Hey, dudes, that's what this book's about. We're supposed to be worried about it. We become so heavenly conscious, we're no earthly good. And we're seeing people perish every day. Why? Lord, vengeance is the Lord's. He'll repay. He'll get them, coach. Oh, well, God bless you. God bless you. Hey, what about all the victims they've had While you're waiting for the Lord to execute vengeance on them, what about all the law, the little children that are being destroyed? The lives are being destroyed. We're just supposed to sit back and get them, Lord. I don't believe so. Yes, is that Mark? Who is that? I thought you weren't going to be in it. Yeah.
You hear what Pastor Flip Benham said yesterday morning?
When he helped me out, Jeff.
When he held the Bible up and was talking to Kyle, and he talked about it, he said, all the people in this world are living by this book. They just don't know it yet.
They just don't know it yet. That's right. This book applies. They just don't know it. They just don't know. By the way, we did our first ordination yesterday. It was really good. So we're moving forward with that, fellas. By the way, if you got a note from Rob Pugh, Rob's making certificates and little pocket things that you can carry. So if you heard from Rob, said, I need a picture of you, please get that picture to him so we can get your certificate and everything made up for you. But we had one yesterday. Okay. So stay with me here, because now I'm going to do what some people don't like. I'm going to go from the spiritual world to the natural world. I'm going to switch over. Because guys, there is tremendous. Thank you, Lord. We are under a curse. We're under a curse. What's that curse? I'm going to show you here in a minute. But we're under the curse because there's no judgment. There's no justice. Bear with me, okay? Bear with me. Jared, pull up there more on the coup. Oh, can't you not talk about it? Yeah, I am, because it applies here. It applies. I found this commentary today on Lou Rockwell. I go a lot of places I go check out in the morning. There's a final minute of FISA memo, Obama, and the election. It almost wasn't. Guys, do you realize that we almost didn't have an election? Do you understand that we almost saw our democracy, our republic, whatever you want to, we almost saw it totally and completely turned on its head? And it's still going on today. Now, hang on a minute. Hang on. Does it have anything to do with this book? Does this book have anything to do with what's with that? I'm going to show you that it does. We'll show you that it does, right? Hey, Jeff, people are living by this. They just don't know it yet, right? And so am I supposed to sit around and let them come in and teach ungodly, debaucherous things to my children, grandchildren, and say, vengeance is the Lord. He'll get them while my daughter's, granddaughter's life's being destroyed. Is that what I'm supposed to do? You're smarter than that, aren't you? Huh? I mean, you're smarter than that. Tell me you're smarter than that. And the only reason that we're not actively fighting some of this stuff is because what we read in Jude, evil men crept in unawares and told us we're not supposed to fight it. We're not supposed to. Oh, that's worldly. You're stuck in the world, coach. No, I'm not stuck in the world. I'm in the world. I'm not of the world. And so I'm bringing another world in to this one. And I'm taking what's here. So let me go down through this real quick. Okay. This starts out as written by a guy I've never heard, Tom Luongo. It says, round up the usual spot suspects and you'll be able to be as far as the Democrats will be willing to go in the wake of this FISA memo. I'm going to make this fast. In other words, ain't nobody going to do nothing. Ain't nobody going to do nothing. Scroll on down, Jared. I'm going to show you some other things. So he comes down and gives us some conclusions that we know. We know number one. Here we are. Here's some conclusions that we know. The outgoing Obama administration at the highest levels, in coordination with the media, conspired to create news stories to support a FISA warrant based on politically motivated opposition research to undermine the newly elected president of the United States. Folks, they call that a coup. That's treason. Jared, I don't know if you see where I am. Maybe you can highlight it, people. Moreover, it knowingly omitted material facts to the court not once but four times to keep the surveillance warrant open in the service of an operation. A warrant the FBI director, Andrew McCabe, testified under oath. That was the key to it. Okay, they're breaking the law. They knew the dossier on Trump, compiled by Steele, was unverifiable. Okay, why? Why did they do that? To what end? Well, they wanted to disgrace and force the President of the United States, the office of the President of the United States. Thus, these people and the leadership of the Democratic Party, President Obama himself, and Hillary Clinton's staff all conspired to criminally disenfranchise more than 60 million people. Do you understand what? You understand this? You understand this? They tried to overturn an election. By the way, so what about the voters? Think about this for 1 second. You know what I'm saying? All these people are guilty at a minimum of corruption, conspiracy, and fraud. That's all crimes. They're all crimes, okay? Think about how many riots and street demonstrations did we see in 2017 as outraged and triggered liberals ran around with breaking windows with their lies? How many hours of lost productivity? How many millions in property damage? How many destroyed careers? How about the victims of the disgusting display of government corruption? Why is Michael Flynn nearly bankrupt? When the corruption is venial, isn't it all right under the constitutional petition our government for redress of grievance? Who are we going to sue? So government's on trial, blah, blah, blah. We'll go down through it. This is a good read. I'm not going to take time to do it, okay? Listen, stay right here. Government on trial. But I want what I want more than that is I want all this stuff out in the open. Judgment, justice, judgment. And I want those responsible, those for whom the titles, the salaries, the benefits, and the power we bestow on them to do work, to stand up and be accountable. I want somebody going to jail. And if they are too venial, too feckless, and too narcissistic to admit the things that they've done, then we'll drag them through the most embarrassing of all show trials. And that means stripping them of their wealth, their power, and their privilege. Justice! Judgment! The Lord saw that there was no justice. That means turning off their house organs in the media, outing the enablers, the leakers, the trolls, and the spooks, if it means releasing everything unredacted in the name of national security, if it means reminding them just how much all of that depends on our consent, not theirs, because if we don't demand these things, then the next time there won't even be the pretense of an election. If we don't understand the seriousness of where we are, and if we don't understand that this book here tells us exactly what we're supposed to do in regards to what's going on around us, then we might as well throw this book away.
There you go.
If this book applies only to you and your house and your church, then you might as well throw it away. Yes, Vinny.
Hey, I just want to say this is the thing I'm always saying. The three movies I mentioned Inside Job, Margin Call, and The Big Short. This is a lesson that no one seems to get. Every time you let a criminal get away with crime, they're just emboldened to have bigger crimes.
It's two systems of justice. And what does the Lord say? He hates the fact that there is no judgment, there is no justice. The Lord hates unjust weights and balances. Okay, just go on a journey with me here, because I'm going to try to connect something to you. I remember I said the land's under a curse. Land's under a curse.
Yes.
And why is the land under the curse? Because there is no justice. Stay with me here. Go back to November 22nd, 1963. What happened in Dallas, Texas? Man was killed. President of the United States was assassinated. Were the perpetrators of that, even today, held accountable for that?
Absolutely.
They tell us Lee Harvey Oswald. They told us Lee Harvey Oswald did it, right? We know he didn't do it.
Only Waterheads believe
it. We know he didn't do it. Well, stay with me. Stay with me. How'd they get away with it? We didn't apply this book. We allowed them to lie. Lord saw it. Lied. And April 4th, 1968? Martin Luther King got gunned down. Martin Luther King got down. James Earl Ray did that. You believe that? You believe James Earl Ray did that by himself? You really believe that? Listen, I'm talking about blood guiltiness here upon the land. Talking about blood guiltiness and the church looking the other way when the Lord demands justice. What happened to Bobby Kennedy just a few years later? Got shot by Sirhan Sirhan. At least they told us it was Sirhan Sirhan. We didn't get the full story on that one, right? Were the people that killed Kennedy, the people that killed Martin Luther King Jr., were the people that killed Robert Kennedy, were they held accountable?
Absolutely were they? Not.
Don't think so? I don't think so either. What about 911? What happened to 911? 911, when they lied to us and told us those towers came tumbling down? You believe that story, do you?
Hey, Coach.
Were the people who perpetrated that event? Huh? Were ever brought to justice?
How about when they?
I remember. What's making the Lord mad? What's making the Lord mad? There ain't no justice.
No justice.
It's making the Lord mad. It's making him mad that there is no judgment. Who's supposed to bring it? Well, we're supposed to bring it according to this book. Except judge not. Judge. They ought to put that on the front of the Bible. Judge not. That's what it ought. That ought to be the name of it.
Well,
that's those evil men crept in unaware. See? Yeah, Vince. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to read this quick quote by Samuel Adams. A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when once they lose their virtue, then they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader.
So last night, Vince, at the Super Bowl halftime, which I didn't watch, Justin Timberlake performed Filthy. That was the name of the song they performed. Filthy.
You were kidding.
Filthy. Right?
What
the? Filthy. Wow. We celebrate filth. Right? Why? Because we're under judgment. We don't understand what's going on. Bear with me. The people perpetrated 9/11 have never been brought to justice. Somebody say amen. Please, somebody out there, tell me you don't believe that story. They've never been brought to justice, right?
Amen.
And so you just continue.
Amen.
Think about what happened at Waco. Were those people ever brought to justice? No. Think about what happened at Oklahoma City. Were those people ever brought to justice? No. No. And what's happening every time people are getting away with it? I'm going to show you something. Huh? They're getting away with all of it. We're getting away with it. And who ain't doing nothing about it? We let the ungodly govern the godly. We let the ungodly give unjust judgments. And nobody does anything about it. Nobody does. They told us.
As the so-called church told me not to. They told me just to pray about it.
That's right, brother. They told you not to get involved. January 22nd, 1973, the blood of 60 million. We're under judgment. We don't understand why. Because nobody has paid the price for what it was that they did. Nobody has. Now, the blood of Jesus, vengeance is mine. I will repay, the Bible says. The Lord will get even. He will get even, but the purpose of law and the purpose of justice is to protect the innocent.
Yes.
And we're not.
Hey, Coach, Leviticus 19:15 through 18, because Jesus is always quoting, and he's quoting from the Old Testament about neighbor as thyself, and then they want to tie this into no judgment. Leviticus 19:15 through 18 says that you are supposed to judge. You are supposed to judge your neighbor. You're supposed to do it in a righteous way. You're not supposed to turn your eye to the sins of your neighbor, of your neighbor as yourself.
If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will bring judgment and justice because that's what protects the innocent. You with me, folks?
Absolutely.
Are you with me? Jared. Boy, thank you, Lord. Jared, go to Deuteronomy 19. I got to show you something here. We're under a curse. You know what's happened? We keep hammering this kind of stuff. When I start diving into a little bit more truth, you know what they're going to do? They're going to ban me from YouTube. They're going to censor it. Why? Because they cannot defeat truth. They can only cover it. They can only cover up truth. Right? Hey, boys, are you ready for this? This whole thing's going to come back to the birth certificate.
Right.
It's all going to end up back at the birth certificate. No judgment, no justice, right? Why don't they want it to come up? Because George Bush knew. Dick Cheney knew. Barbara Bush knew. Hillary Clinton knew. The Supreme Court knew. They all knew. There's a video you ought to watch with Carl Gallups and Mike Zullo on the birth certificate. Listen, we're under a curse because there is no justice. The Lord requires justice. In Deuteronomy 19, is that where we are? I think it's down about why the Lord hath cut off of the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in the cities and houses. Thou separate. Let's go on up, Jelly. Let's go to about. Let's go to verse 4 right there. No, man. Okay, there we go. Let's start at 3, Dale. All right, Jared. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of the land the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer may flee further. And this is the case of the slayer which fleeth thither, that he may live. Whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hath hated not in time past, when a man goes out into the woods with his neighbor to chop wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and it slips and cuts off his hand and lightens his neighbor, then he shall die. When he shall flee unto one of those cities, talking about justice, lest the Avenger of the Blood pursue him, pursue the slayer, while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, and as much as he didn't hate him, that's not why he did it. Okay, here's what I'm trying to get at. Jared, let's go quickly to Deuteronomy 21. Folks, listen. Blood has a voice, and blood requires justice. And until justice comes, we are under a curse. Now look at this. Okay, apply this to those things I just talked about. 9-1-1. Apply it to abortion. Apply it to Waco, Oklahoma City, Lavoie, Finicum. You go on and on and on. Remember, this book is to govern this world. If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it's not known who's killed him. Do we know who did 1911? Well, we better get ready here if we don't know who did it. Then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about the one that was slain, and it shall be that the city which is closest to where that killing took place, even the elders of that city shall take a heifer, and which hath not been wrought with, and with a pure one. And the elders of the city shall bring that heifer into the rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priest, the son of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him, and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by the word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried, and all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer and say, we didn't do it! We didn't do it, Lord! We don't know who did it, but we're going to kill this lamb because we're going to see justice as it brought. We don't want blood guilt upon this nation. Be merciful, O Lord, unto the people whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not this innocent blood under the charge of the people of Israel. Lord, please don't do that. And let this blood be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of the innocent blood from among you when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. What does the Lord say? Somebody has died. There must be blood shed to avenge it. That's why the death penalty is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. So we look right now all across America. How many thousands, millions of people can we talk who have been slain nationally, and there has been, have they done this? Have they dug and dug and dug and dug and dug to try to find out who did it? Has there been some sacrificing, Lord? We wash, oh Lord, it was the Russians that did it. It was the Muslims that did it. No. You guys understand where I'm coming from? Do you understand the blood guilt that is upon America? Do you understand all of these gigantic, catastrophic, national sins, murders of innocent people that have gone not only unavenged, but there has been no one held accountable for it? And the Bible says, if you don't hold somebody accountable for it, the blood's going to be on your hands. Boys and girls, this is right out of the scripture. This is right out of the scripture. And so we look at what's going on and say, well, why are you worrying about politics, Coach? Why are you worrying about Hillary Clinton? Why do you want her in jail? Because there's no justice. There's no justice. And that we are under a curse. The slaughter of unborn babies. The church is church isn't avenging it. The church is accepting it and whitewashing it, becoming complicit in it. There's no avenging of it. Yes.
Hey, Coach, you know, on this subject, had a good talk with Robert Caringola yesterday at church. He was in town visiting, and he brought up a really good point. He made a point that Watergate, when everyone abandoned Nixon, it was like rats jumping off the ship.
Right.
Well, do you guys know why Charles Colson became a Christian? because he absorbed everything that happened. He himself went to prison. But when he started studying the Bible, he realized that no one defends a lie and the liars indefinitely. And eventually all the rats start jumping off the ship. So he realized that those disciples would not have done what they did and given their lives, become martyrs for a lie. And so basically what Robert said, and I agree with him, the time's coming soon. The rats are going to, you watch, the rats are going to be jumping off the ship. They're going to be fleeing. Clintons, the Soroses, the Bushes, they'll have no one left to defend them. So that, take heart, that time of justice is coming.
George, it's funny you would say that, because I heard Chuck Colson about 20 years ago at when I was coaching football in London. I heard Chuck Colson in person at the London Correctional Institute on Palm Sunday. He made a Palm Sunday presentation out there. And he said the one thing that convinced him that the Bible was true, he said he was in the middle of Watergate, and when the hammer started coming down on Watergate, the rats began to run. He said there were five people in the Watergate, at the center of Watergate, and they couldn't keep a secret amongst five of them. They couldn't do it. They were running. He said, you look at the disciples, they all went to a bloody death, not denying what had happened. That's how he knew the gospel was truth. And so listen, fellas, we cannot, from a biblical standpoint, allow them to wash this under the rug, sweep this under the rug. No. You guys remember when Jerry Sandusky and the pedophile thing at Penn State University? Of course you do. Remember that whole thing? Jerry Sandusky was the one that supposedly perpetrated the pedophilia. I got a question for you. Was Jerry Sandusky the only one who was held accountable for that?
Pretty much.
No. They put Joe Paterno in his grave.
Oh, right.
They fired Joe Paterno, didn't they? And then he was dead. He was dead less than a year later, got lung cancer and died. But he said, Joe Paterno, you didn't know this was going on? You didn't know this was going on? Get out of here. And then who else did they go after? Well, they went after the athletic director. They said, the athletic director, you mean this is going on? You didn't know it was going on? You're out of here. And then where'd they go next? Why, they went to the president of the university. They said, the president of the university, you didn't know this was going on? Or you did know it was going on, look the other way, you're out of here. Folks, that's the only way justice can work. And it's not about whether or not somebody's forgiven by the Lord. That's not, see, the blood of Jesus cancels the punishment for sin, but it doesn't cancel the consequences of it. I can kill somebody, go to death row, find Christ as my Savior, be able to enter into the kingdom, and still have to forfeit my life, because the grace of God does not cancel the consequences of sin in this world. And so we can go back as far as we want to. You call it the deep state. Let's go back to the Kennedy assassination. Remember they began to call conspiracies? Look back to those and look who we now know was at the center of it. The CIA, right? The CIA, the same group that's still at work today. Why? There's been no judgment. There's been no justice. They come out with the phony reports. They come out with the Warren Commission. And then they come out with that report on 9/11. They come out with all these government things covering up the mess, convincing us that justice is being done. We know better. We know better. Please, are you ready? Oh, I'm going to get into it here.
Well, Coach.
Yeah, Jared.
Well, just an example, maybe to illustrate what you're talking about on the mercy side of it, is the grace of God might cover somebody's transgressions in this life if the ruler has the grace of God on them and they decide to absolve you. But that's how that works, right?
Right.
If the ruler has experienced the grace of God in their life personally, then maybe they will extend that to the physical realm. But maybe they won't, you know?
Maybe they won't. But see, Jared, Folks, understand this. This book is about this world. And when you pass from this world, you're going to be judged by the things in this book. Everybody is. Jeff, the Bible applies to everybody. They just don't know it yet, right? Everybody's going. You're going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to give an account for what this book told you to do with your deeds in the flesh. And if you're born again and you've received Christ as your Savior, he can look at this stuff and say, hey, yeah, you did all that stuff, but you're forgiven. Because why? The price was paid. See, listen. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Why? Some blood had to be shed! Blood had to be shed to cover the innocent blood that was sacrificed. That's what we read right here in Deuteronomy. What we read is when a murder was done, nobody who did it, they came out and they killed a lamb. Why? Because they said, listen, blood for blood. We didn't do it. And the whole gospel of Jesus Christ is Christ died to pay the price because a price had to be paid for blood. Blood for blood, it had to be paid. And we are under blood guiltiness in America because we have looked the other way and we have not demanded justice for the slaughter of the innocent.
Amen, brother.
You guys really get it, or is it just me gets it?
Hey, Coach.
No, we know.
100% get it, Coach. And the church thinks we're not connected to the politics, we're not supposed to be involved in that, because we're God's people, that we're not underneath that. But brother, it says in Proverbs, when the wicked rule, the righteous mourn, or, you know, but when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And so, brother, that's talking about those people in position. In Daniel chapter 9, which is an incredible insight to the 3 points of God's judgment, God judges individually, God judges his church, his people, and lastly, God judged based on the laws in which a nation makes, and he judges the nation, which is people. Nation's not a geographical thing. A nation is a conglomerate of people who rule either righteously or unrighteously, and Daniel, who was a righteous man, was in captivity because of the sins that Israel did, that God used Babylon to come and put them in prison.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Coach, what's the point? The point that I'm making is the church is the one, through the scriptures, to execute judgment.
Right.
It's spelled out here for us. Guys, I'm just telling you, can you imagine the healing of this nation? When Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and George, whoever, but I don't know. As they investigate and find out, Dick Cheney, John Kerry, as these people are perp walk, can you imagine what will happen to our nation as justice is coming to the highest levels of our government? Can you imagine?
The exaltation would be fantastic.
Well, can you
imagine the next group of politicians who think about doing something fishy? Huh? Can you imagine? Say, remember Hillary? Go ahead, Dale.
Right. Coach, you're right, and I believe that. But you've already said it, brother. Our choices cannot negate the consequences that are coming.
Right.
These things, even if we were to fall as a nation and repent before a holy living God, we are still going to suffer.
Amen.
Because of the choices we made. Those consequences,
yeah,
God says, I'm not going to be mine.
If we were to move now, maybe the consequences wouldn't be quite as serious,
quite
as bad, once the blood is avenged.
You're right, because the blood of Jesus Christ covers the multitude of sin, and I believe it can reprieve. I believe it can reprieve and stab off. That's why God was ready to destroy Nineveh. But when that king ordered the repentance and that nation repented, he spared the nation of Nineveh. Now, of course, a lot of people don't realize. They go, Nineveh was a wicked, God-hating people. They hated the Israelites. When God got Nineveh right with him, he used Nineveh then to punish Israel.
Yes, he did.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
If anybody hasn't seen it, Google that commercial last night that Toyota put on where the priest is talking to some people in the church, and he looked at him and he said, oh, yeah, I think you'll be okay. And he runs out and gets in a truck with the Buddhist and the Muslim and one other one. And the commercial, the whole point was, we all are one family.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I saw that. That was So listen. Here's where we are in America. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, that whole cabal. If they were charged and found guilty, do you have any idea how many Christians would say, oh, let them go? They've suffered enough.
Not any real Christians, brother.
Nuh-uh. So I would say, mine would be, hang them high. Hang them high.
Right. Swing, baby.
And their eternal salvation is between them and the Lord. This book requires judgment. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The avenging of blood. Does Hillary Clinton have blood on her hands? Are you kidding me? Barack Obama has blood on his hands. Are you kidding me? Hey, come on now. Come on now. Do a lot of us have blood on our hands because of what we've allowed to happen to the innocent babies? Come on now. We better hope he's full of grace. We better hope he's full of mercy. Because remember this. Salvation saves you in the next life. It don't guarantee you anything. In this one.
In this one.
God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.